Tomorrow afternoon at 4:06 is the one-year anniversary of the largest municipal bankruptcy filing in American history. It was the day Governor Rick Snyder decided it was past time to act.
This is the time to say enough is enough in terms of the downward decline of Detroit. The 700,000 people of Detroit deserve a better answer. What this does by going to bankruptcy court is give us one forum to say, let's address these issues in a thoughtful, deliberate fashion. And this has been done after going through a very deliberative process to come to that decision and to recognize there were no other viable alternatives.
This week, Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes has been talking with top business leaders for a temperature check on how they feel this first year of bankruptcy has gone. Daniel, DTE Energy's vice chairman Dave Meador said a year and a half ago, if you told a number of us this was going to happen, we wouldn't have believed it. What is it?
It's a lot of things. I mean, I think he said made those comments yesterday at the second grand bargain press conference at the DIA, where the DIA has been trotting out the people who are contributing to their portion of the grand bargain. But I think it's a lot more than that, as I interpret it. I mean, it's the city cutting $7 billion in debt prospectively. It's finding money to prop up pensions from within the community. It's not selling the art. It's a whole host of things. It's union and pension fund leaders ultimately looking at surveying what is a pretty bleak landscape and probably making the most responsible decision in terms of telling their members we need to back the grand bargain, which essentially makes them allies of the city and of Governor Rick Snyder and of the Republican leadership in the legislature. I think we've seen a kind of leadership and coalescence in this community, the likes of which people in my line of work, I've never seen it. And I came here in 1993 to Southeast Michigan. And I've never seen anything like it. And you talk to people who spent their whole lives here, and they would tell you the same thing.
Whom do business leaders, for example, Matt Cullen, who's president and CEO of Rock Financial, credit for all of this?
Well, I think they start, as Matt said to me yesterday, he starts with Judge Rhodes, who's overseeing the bankruptcy, and Judge Rosen, who's leading a team of federal mediators. But I don't think you can stop there. I think what people see, and I see it too, is a real confluence of leadership, a very unique period in time where you have a Republican governor who's not acting like a caricatured Republican in Lansing, a Democrat who's the mayor of Detroit, who's really not acting like a stereotypical Democrat. He tends to be pro-business. He moves quickly. He doesn't check everything with whether the unions are going to like it or not like it. You've got Kevin Orr and his bankruptcy team. You've got even suburban leaders who I think are showing some support. Suburban taxpayers who, when polled, and even outstate voters, when polled about the grand bargain, a surprising majority, surprisingly large majority, supported using taxpayer funds to get the grand bargain finished. I mean, and even the pensioners, who a lot of whom made a lot of noise on our websites and other websites that they were going to vote no, and clearly there were people that did vote no, but there was a lot, from what we can tell, a much larger majority who just kept their mouth shut and are voting yes because they're taking a deal that probably is the best deal that they can get.
And you're touching on the point that needs to be highlighted and not glossed over, and the fact that this has and will hurt people like the pensioners. But as you point out, a lot of people thought a year ago that the banks and the big money companies aren't going to be hit, and they are.
Well, and that's exactly right, and I think that's why you have a few financial holdouts who are squawking really loud, and it's going to get louder when the trial begins in mid-August, the trial for the actual confirmation trial, where the judge goes through this and then says, okay, this is the plan, and we're going to go forward with this. Now, it's going to be a very important and large part of that whole trial is going to be determining whether the plan that the city is putting forth is what they call feasible, that is sustainable and financially viable. Because what they don't want is to take the risk of what's called a Chapter 18, meaning they go out of Chapter 9 and then they go back into Chapter 9, so it becomes a Chapter 18. So that's going to be a big part of it, but I think you're going to see financial creditors still making an awful lot of noise and saying that the grand bargain and everything that it represents is a community and a state kind of banding together around an idea and a concept that is politically palatable at the expense of lenders. And there have been other lenders who've cut deals with the city. And after multiple negotiations, and they're, to use the haircut metaphor, they were getting more and more hair cut off every time they redid the deal. So this whole notion that the banks aren't paying and the little folks are is just not true. In a lot of ways, when you look, if you're a police or fighter retiree at the city of Detroit, you would get 100% of your pension. Now, you would lose about half of your cost of living adjustment, and no question, retiree health care is being impacted by this. But I think this is a lot better outcome than a lot of people feared at the outset.
You make a real interesting point in your column in today's news, Daniel, that the timing of this bankruptcy really worked in its favor, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Think back to where we were in 2009. You had the two iconic companies in a federally induced bankruptcy. You had Ford Motor Company, while it wasn't there, it was fighting for its life. I mean, it had money in the bank, and it was able to fight through it. You had a leadership in Lansing that was terribly divided. Governor Granholm and the Republicans in the Senate simply could not get anything meaningful done. And even Andy Dillon, who was the Speaker and a Democrat in the House, was often at loggerheads with the governor. And she also was somebody who I think typically was afraid to kind of stand up to her own union base when it was needed. I just don't see, if the situation had reached such critical mass financially for the city 4 years ago, that she would have even taken him into bankruptcy, or she may have been forced to do so, but it would have been a lot more not as well planned. I think you have evidence here of a governor and a team that saw this coming for some period of time, and some people would argue that they may have induced it with a revised emergency manager law, but the net effect is, I think when you put it all together, you also had a business community in the city of Detroit that's very energized. As I quoted it late in the piece, Dan Lepp, the CEO of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, who said, you know, we started to see what was happening in downtown, and it wasn't just Gilbert. It began much earlier than that. It began with Peter Carmanos bringing CompuWare down, and then there was another thing, and then there was Gilbert, and things were starting to happen, and people wanted to be a part of it. And they could see with the corruption trial of Kwame Kilpatrick, with some of the other public corruption investigations that the U.S. attorney is doing, that things are really starting to change here, and they were changing for the good. And as he put it, people didn't want to let go, and they still don't want to let go. I mean, you had Roger Penske and the Penske Corp make a $10 million contribution pledge to the grand bargain, which is twice what Dan Gilbert and the Quicken family have done. I mean, that ought to tell you something. These are people that, I mean, Roger Penske doesn't need to do this, mm-hmm. but they want to be part of it. And as he put it, and I really like this metaphor, they don't want to let go. They want to be part of this turnaround story, and they're going to do what they can to help the mayor, to help the governor, to help each other. You know, Roger Penske led a campaign to raise money for ambulances and cop cars for the city of Detroit, which you see, if you're in the city, you see all over the place. You know, these are meaningful things, and they're symbolic to the people that live there, and they see these things happening.
How do you think all of this will serve to set things up for the confirmation trial that starts August 14th?
Well, I think, unfortunately, some of the stuff we're talking about here to Judge Rhodes is probably ancillary. I mean, he knows it exists. He lives in this community. He's practiced and served on the bench here for a long time. But I think at the end of the day, he has to call balls and strikes in the courtroom. This is a capstone to his career. There's no question about it. It would be for any judge. But, you know, after this, he's expected to go on what's called recall status, which is kind of like semi-retirement. So this is his big deal, and he wants to do it right, and he wants to call balls and strikes down the middle. He doesn't want to be perceived as being favoring one side or the other. And you can see even this week he pushed back on the city a little bit on their how they were doing their water shutoffs, and he's done those kinds of things in the past. So I think really this is going to be more of a very technical exercise. But I think we have a better sense about how this is going to play out now that it appears the pensioners and the two classes of pensioners have approved the grand bargain. Now, we'll know that for sure on Monday when the city is supposed to enter a filing with the court that says exactly what the outcome of the vote was. But our reporting and reporting of other news organizations all is in line. I suspect we're talking to a lot of the same people, that this passed by a pretty comfortable margin.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel House. Thanks so much, Daniel.
Thanks for having me.